I wanted to share from Psalm 68, verses 1 through 4 this morning as the base text. The message title this morning is Scatter Your Enemies. How many know that we are in warfare? We're in a war, and you need to know how to defeat and overcome your adversary. It says in verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before Yahweh, God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. We've gone through this before, but I felt the Lord was directing me to speak about this again. Remember when they took the Ark of the Covenant up. The Ark represents the presence of the Lord. Amen? Moses spoke this. Whenever they took the Ark of the Covenant and they moved from one place to another. In Numbers chapter 10:34, it says that the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the Ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And look at this in verse 36. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Do you see that God is the one who defeats our enemies? God is the one who scatters our enemies. But God is also the one who gives us rest, who gives us peace, who comforts us, who takes care of us. We simply need to trust in his faithfulness. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, of how Israel had witnessed so many miracles and yet so quickly forgot when they got into the time of testing in the difficult place. The last couple of weeks we were talking about Egypt and coming out of Egypt, and that in order for a person to be free from Egypt, they must sever every tie that they had to the old life, to the old way, to Egypt. As long as we're willing to be sympathetic towards evil in areas of our lives, we are giving permission for the enemy to keep us captive in that place. So God wants his people free, set free indeed. We're moving on here to where now they're in the wilderness, and whenever they were to move, Moses would decree this. He would say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And Solomon also spoke this first part. The first part of this, as the ark was deposited in the holy place at the dedication of the temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 41, it says, now therefore arise, O Lord, this is King Solomon, God, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. Does God want his people rejoicing? Does God want his people praising him? How many know that God doesn't need anything? He doesn't need anything, folks. Everything he does is for you. Everything he did in our redemption was for us. That's agape love. It was not a love with strings. Are you with me, attached? It was a love that is just who he is. And he just, wherever God manifests, it's love. His love was one way towards us. And God looked upon our pitiful condition, our fallen state. God is the one who took the initiative, amen, to send Jesus to die in our place. God passionately loves us. So passionately that he was willing to suffer for us. And so everything that God did was for Israel's benefit, folks. Even the difficulties of the wilderness were for the benefit of his people, because he knew as long as they trusted in Egypt, as long as they were holding on to the past or to the old life, they could not enter into the promise that he had for them, the promised land, the land of abundance and blessing. Are you with me? So God wanted his people completely 3 days out of Egypt into the wilderness, and God promised that he would be with them. This is the awesome thing, is we need to understand that no matter what we face as followers of Jesus, God promised to be with us. Did he not say, I will never leave you? I will never forsake you. But God, I don't feel you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But God, do you see what I'm going through? I told you I would never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to prepare you for the promise that I have for you. And right now you're not ready because you're full of your ways, and your ways are ways that lead to destruction. So God wants his people clean and free and untethered to the old life, so that we may walk in the new life and enjoy the rest and the abundance of his presence. It was all for you. It was all for me that Jesus died. It was by the blood of the Lamb that you and I were delivered out of bondage. But if we want to hold on to the tethers, if we want to hold on to the old ways, then we're giving Satan, or Pharaoh, if you will, access to our lives. We went through a series of teachings on demolishing or pulling down strongholds. And what is a stronghold? A stronghold is really, that word stronghold means a fortified castle. And it's a place of security for a king. And Satan is looking for a place of security in your life. He's looking for places, areas in our lives where we are sympathetic towards sin, because those are the places where he can camp. And his purpose is not just to stay there. His purpose is to take territory and take you over. And as a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus, how many know that we can still allow him access if we choose to rebel against God's word? But Jesus came to bring us life. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus only has good in store for his people, but we've got to trust him. The ark, again, it was symbolic of his divine presence on the earth. And wherever the ark of God was, you know, the enemies of God were subdued or they displaced. And it was by the presence of the Lord that the enemies of God were defeated. I want you to get this. It's by the presence of the Lord in your heart that your enemies are defeated. There are many people who are bound by the enemy, even Christians, because they do not give God access to areas of their life and areas of their heart. Are you hearing this? It is God's presence that will destroy the adversary, that will drive out your enemies. And so God is asking us to open the door and let him come in. Are you hearing me? And some people think that just means a salvation prayer that I prayed 20 years ago. No, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people who did that have since shut Jesus out. And they're just coming and they're sitting in a shut down condition, even when the glory of God is being poured out. How many know, as long as you close the door of your heart, you can be in the atmosphere of heaven and not have heaven in your heart? And God has given us, amen, His weapons are not of human origin. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through him, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And one of the greatest weapons you have is this little member right here. It's called the tongue. Amen. And that we can speak the word of God and defeat the enemies. That we can declare the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his light. We have the word of our testimony. Amen. And the blood of Jesus to overcome the adversary. And so we we've got to utilize what God has given to us. And we are to give praise to God because God inhabits praise, and praise brings His delivering power. Are you with me? His presence is what drives out the adversary. And if we don't open our hearts and give God praise, are you with me, in a full surrender, in a full abandon, then you're allowing the enemy to still camp in those places. I have discovered that if you will give God praise with all your heart, that sometimes you don't have to have anybody lay hands on you. Are you with me? God Himself will drive. He'll squeeze the devil out of you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
What I'm telling you today is not my word. It's God's word. And if we're wise, we'll hear and heed what God says. And it's not based upon feeling. If I feel like praising God, it's a matter of fact that I must praise Him. It's for my benefit that I praise my Creator. Amen? Yeah. And how many know that a thankful heart is what produces praise?
Amen.
Isn't it true that Israel didn't praise the Lord because they were grumbling? They had quickly forgotten and they became unthankful. And when they were unthankful, there was no praise in their lips. Are you with me? How many have been able to praise and grumble at the same time? If you want God's blessing, and if you want your enemy defeated, and you want those pests, all right, driven out of your life. I heard Gail say this the other day. It was good. I wrote it down for today. She said, praise is toxic to the devil.
Yeah.
I like that. It's toxic to the devil. But I've seen people who are bound by the enemy. Are you hearing me today? And they come in and they sit and they continue to be bound. Why? Because they will not open their mouth and give God praise. I have discovered that I don't always even feel like praising, but I have discovered that a sacrifice God is in. There are times when I bring the sacrifice of praise, right? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And you don't have to wait to get to church. How many know you should walk in praise and thanksgiving? And gratitude every day produces authentic praise. You see, if we would get back to just being thankful and reflecting on God's goodness in our lives, how many know it's not really that hard to find blessings in your life? Amen? Come on. And start dwelling on those things and not on what's wrong and what's broken, but dwell on the good things of God and what He's done for you in the past. Shift your thinking. Get out of complaining and get into praise. And praise will bring His presence, and His presence brings deliverance. You get that oppressor off your back. Come on. He hates it. That's why He's constantly trying to attack praise. He's trying to stop prayer and praise. Amen. Praise is another form of prayer. It's communication with God, but it's also acknowledging. What is praise? It means to make our boast in God. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 6, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And the first piece of armor that he mentions there is what? The belt of truth. Why is that? Because without the knowledge of the truth, we perish. Your life will fall apart. Why? Without truth, there's no foundation. Everything in our life, folks, is held together by truth. Amen? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You've got to know what is authentic. You've got to know what is real. You've got to know what is true. Amen? Some people say, well, truth is relative. No, truth is truth. God is true. Amen? God is authentic. What He says is true. If you believe what God says and you put faith in what He says and you live according to the truth, you will discover that God means what He says. And a very important truth, and that's why we mention this, is because the very important truth is this, is that God wants us to know that without His presence, our enemies are not going to scatter. Do you know, folks, that we don't have to be beat up by the devil? God wants His people completely free. Free indeed, He said.
Amen.
You don't have to be beat up by the devil. If you feel like you've just been beat up by the devil and you can't seem to get free, you need, you know, just come on up afterwards. We're going to pray for you. Gently. But we won't be gentle with the devil, but we'll be gentle with you. But if you need to be free, I'm going to know you need to ask, right, sometimes.
Amen.
So would you pray for me? You know, I need people to pray for me all the time. Thank God I have a praying wife. Amen. And she holds me up in prayer. And I know some of you pray for me, and I can tell. I can feel it. I know God's protection is there because you are praying for me, and I pray for you. At times, God quickens you to my heart, and I'll pray for you. We're here really because God called us together for such a time as this. We are to be corporately engaged in the mission of God in the earth. How many know this is not a self-service thing, right? We're here to serve Him. We're here to serve the King. And we've got to change our thinking, because sometimes too much of what we're doing is it just revolves around us and our needs. God says, take care of my stuff and I'll take care of yours. Matthew 6:33, amen? Seek first the kingdom. How many remember the battle of Jehoshaphat, right? And this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, where the Lord says, the battle is not yours, but God's, right? What were they to do? They were to go forth with the singers, right? And they were to praise God in the beauty of holiness. And as he did that, God sent ambushes, amen? And he caused confusion to come upon their enemies. How many know the enemy is constantly going to try to rob you of praise and thanksgiving by getting you and I preoccupied with what's wrong and broken in our lives? How many know that God never told us to focus on the problem? Never. He didn't say you deny it. He says you don't dwell on it. You identify it, say, okay. And like Brother Wayne said this morning in Sunday school, God, how are we going to handle this together? Okay, we have a problem. How many know your problem is just not too big for God? Sometimes it seems that way because all we can see is the problem, but the enemy wants you to focus, see, on the problem. He's constantly, it's a battle for your mind and for your affections and what you're dwelling on. So if you're constantly about the problem, it magnifies and it begins to shut your faith down. What we need to do is put our focus on the enormity, on the awesome power of Almighty God, who we happen to be members of His family. Amen? We need to see the bigness of God in our situation, folks. We need to praise Him in the situation. Exalt Him. That means make Him big. Amen? Magnify, make Him big in our eyes. He is big, but sometimes we got to change our thinking. And we need to start reflecting on God's bigness, on His greatness, so that now the problem has shrunk and God has become big. And now your faith has risen up to a level where now God will honor, okay, your faith and intervene and deal with your situation. Do you know God wanted to deal with Israel's problems? And God even allowed the problems that they had. He allowed them. Why? Because He was trying to teach them to trust Him. So how many know that God's allowing some problems in your life? Is God bad? No, He's good. He wants you to learn that He's with you and that He's for you. And He has a plan and a purpose and He has a promised land for you. He has a destiny for you that is far greater than anything we can imagine. But we need to understand that when you're going through it, God's going to be there for you. And what God wants you to do, instead of looking at the problem and complaining about it, He wants you to start looking at what God has done in your life and start being thankful again. Shift into thanksgiving, into the mode of gratitude about all the good that God has done for your life. If God hasn't done anything else for you in your life, thank God that He went to the cross for you. Amen. Thank Jesus bled and died for me to save my soul from a devil's hell. Isn't that enough for us? Amen. And if we have some little petty problems in this world, as Paul called them, and if anybody had problems, it was Apostle Paul. But he said these momentary light afflictions. I'm looking at his life and say, that was a momentary light affliction. But folks, we need to identify with Paul and say, you know what? These are just momentary. They're just temporary. Our problems are temporary. Amen? This is not it. Our life is not about problems. Our life is about life and peace in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Our life is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Our life is in Him. And not about focusing on what's wrong and what's broken around us. God says, you have a problem? Okay. Trust me. Hook up with me, yoke up with me, and we're going to do this thing together. And in the process, you're going to be strengthened by me. You know what I'm talking about? A yoke with Jesus. Come on, you know, we're like that little weak-kneed, you know, little calf that's kind of hung in with a big ox, Jesus, right? I'm with him. I'm with the band. You know, I'm with Jesus. But he's carrying us more than we realize and we acknowledge. What he's doing is he's strengthening you through the difficulties. Come on.
Amen.
As we walk with Jesus, the stronger one is doing most of the pulling, but he's not going to let you drag. Sometimes we think, I'm just going to lay here in passivity and God's going to drag me. No, he's not. He says, you need to walk by faith. Walk with me. Trust me. And as we walk together, I will strengthen you to the point where one day you're going to be as your master. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's what Jesus said. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to be strong in character. Amen? Steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what tragedies happen in our lives, we're going to continue to walk with Jesus, continue to trust in the Lord. I am amazed by the faith of some of the saints that I've witnessed. And some people, I think of Jackie and some of the difficulties that we can only imagine she's been going through. And yet through it all, she is just praising the Lord. She's trusting in Jesus. She's holding on to his promises. She knows that God loves her. God is for her. And that God's not going to ever give her anything that she cannot handle. Amen? God will never allow anything in your life, even a temptation, that's bigger than what you can handle. God's greater. And then we know the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by what? Might, nor by power. But by my spirit, says the Lord. Psalms 127:1. This is a song of ascent of Solomon. And it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Right? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, folks, what we're called to do is way bigger than what we can handle on our own. That's the whole idea. God says, I want fellowship with you. I want you to know me. So, you know what it's like? It's like the kid that gets all the toys, you know? And we're just, you know, we're so wrapped up in the toys. And you know, some kids, they've always had everything handed to them, you know? And so they don't appreciate anything. But if you start taking those toys away, boy, you've got sometimes a problem. Unless the child has raised up and has learned to appreciate what they have. You with me? And understand that everything that they have was a gift that was given to them. Do you know everything we have, folks, was a gift? Everything that you have as far as ability, talents, anointing, is what? A gift. It's given. The next breath that we take is a gift. It's given. Everything is given by God. We need to understand that, folks, that God owns us. We're his people, his property. He can take care of his stuff. And he's working something out in your life. And he's developing us. And he's strengthening us. And he's preparing us for glory, for eternity. And we're in the dressing room right now. And all the things that he allows in our lives are actually good for us if we will have the right attitude about it. Instead of grumbling, get back into the mode of praise and thanksgiving. Are you with me? That's what shifts things in the heavenlies. That's what brings God's intervention. Because God will intervene, but he's waiting for you and I to call upon him. How many know that if we become passive as believers, we're in trouble? If you're in a war and you got bullets flying at you, amen, you can't be passive. It's time to get up and fight, amen? It's him or me, right? And we are in a war, and you cannot be passive in this war. You'll get walked over. You'll get trampled over. And so God says, I've given you mighty weapons. I've given you my word, amen? I've given you my spirit. I've given you my blessing. I've given you praise. The song of praise. Hallelujah. That will scatter your enemies. Praise is audible. How many knew that? And no, some people, they probably don't think it is. They think, well, I'm just not a very audible person. No, praise must be audible. How many know that God spoke and it was so? Amen? So we were created in His likeness and His image, and God said we also have been given as children of God kingly anointing, kingly authority to decree in His name. And so we've got to speak to situations. We've got to speak to our situations. Now people get freaked out. Oh, you're talking about His name and claim it stuff. No, I'm talking about speaking what God is speaking. Amen. Not just what you think. But you've got to find out the heart and the mind of God, and then you can decree those things that God is saying, and they will come to pass. That's what Abraham did. How many know that churches can function independently of God's power? Do you know if we're not careful, we can get into a place where we're just, the machine is well oiled, it's running smoothly. We've got all the programs. We've got the nice music. Or at least I think it's nice. You know, are you with me? We've got everything. We've got the services down so we can do church. And yet, if we're not careful, we can lose His presence. There are many churches that don't have the presence of God. They're just on remote control. They're just going through the motions week after week. They're dead. And the people that come and attend there are dead too. And God wants His church to come alive. He wants to breathe life into His church. But it's going to require a heart of praise. It's going to require a heart that hungers and thirsts for the living God. Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There has to be praise. Amen. Praise from the heart. God inhabits praise. If you want Him to, if you will, to enthrone in our midst, then we must offer praise. Praise sets an atmosphere for God's presence, for His glory. That's why some of the people are as crazy as they are about praise. And why? Because we realize that, you know, we can't make it without God's presence. I can't overcome without God's presence. How about you? Oh, you may go to a doctor or psychiatrist or take a bunch of pills or go through, you know, all this stuff, these gyrations where they're just putting Band-Aids on your soul, but they're not really healing you. They're not really helping you ultimately. God's presence will deliver you fully and completely. He will drive out all of your adversaries. I believe that all things are possible to them that believe. I believe that with God nothing shall be impossible. I believe that praise, amen, brings His presence. And where His presence is, there is liberty. Amen. There's freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes the enemy knows he gets scared when we're getting together every Sunday morning. So he starts sending out his minions. He starts sending out his demons. Are you hearing me today? And he starts dealing with people before they ever come. Start causing trouble at home, trying to get into the home. Get the husband and wife into a tizzy or something, you know. Or during the week, he starts trying to get people all depressed and bent out of shape over stuff. And or he starts injecting lies into their ears about this fellowship so that if we're not careful, we'll start listening to the wrong voice. And all of a sudden, you know, where are you today? Why aren't you here? Are you hearing me? Because he wants to rob. He wants to steal from you. He wants to keep you from hearing this message even. He wants you to keep you from receiving of God's Spirit today. Because he knows if we get together and we are determined to seek God and to have God come, amen, and fill this place and fill our hearts and fill our lives, it's doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. Do you realize that even as we praise God in this house, that this neighborhood is getting whacked? How many know that God's not confined to these walls? And you know, you can tell when you're starting to get through because the neighbors will get irritated. All of a sudden, for no reason, they're irritated at you. Well, God's working. Has anybody beside myself been irritated before you got saved? Man, I was kicking and screaming at the end, man. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about that stuff. You know, sometimes that's when people are the ripest, when they're just really, they're really fighting and they're really mad. Has anybody ever been mad before when somebody tried to tell you about Jesus? A couple of you? Okay. So don't look at that and say, well, they're just You know, they're just heathen. Look at him as someone that Jesus died for. And that he's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. So we need to love people. Amen. And we need to be patient with people when they oppose us. And understand there was a time when we were opposing God. We were enemies of God in our minds. Were we not? Sometimes we forget because we've been in the atmosphere of his presence for so long. And it just becomes the norm to us. And you know, sometimes in a while God just puts me in a place where I'm like, oh yeah, I used to live like this. I can't imagine living like that, but I used to live like that. And when I get around that situation sometimes, like the other day we went downtown Olympia, and I happened to walk through one particular section, and it was a bar, and everybody was a half of them out on the sidewalk, half of them in the bar. They're all just drunker than a skunk, and there's a stench of alcohol and cigarettes and everything else. And I was just thinking, man, I used to live in that life. I shouldn't forget that, you know, that those people just don't know any better. They really don't know any better. You know, people say, well, you know better. Well, you know, if they really knew better, they wouldn't be doing it. It's the enemy has blinded their eyes, folks. And you and I have been given the precious seed of the gospel, of the truth, of the word, and the love, amen, of God to show them that there's a better way. Overcomers are those who realize that apart from God's power, there is no real victory over the enemy. Did you get the point this morning, folks? Did you understand?
Yes.
Praise is essential.
Amen.
God's presence is going to scatter your enemies. So you've got to open your heart. You've got to open up wide and let God fill your life. And you do that by praising Him. Amen? We've got to listen to His voice. We've got to obey His voice. There are some people that are coming before God with their offering of praise, and yet they have aught against a brother or sister. They haven't forgiven a brother or sister. And do you know that that offering is not received by God? Have you realized that, right? That we must first forgive our brother and our sister, and then you come and you offer your gift. Sometimes the reason why we're not getting through is because we're not listening to God. First, go and reconcile, right? If possible, reconcile. At least make the effort to reconcile. And then you come and you offer your gift. You and I are members of Christ. We're family. We belong to one another. And so if I lash out and I hurt you with my tongue or my attitudes or my actions, I'm hurting a member of Christ. I'm hurting the Lord. Do you know that when somebody hurts you, they're hurting Him? When somebody speaks against you as His follower, they're speaking against Him. And so there must be forgiveness. Just as Christ forgave us, so we must forgive one another. There cannot be any partiality in the body of Christ. There are no distinctions, amen? There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. You're either a child of God or you're not. If you're a child of God, you have value, amen? You're valuable to God. You're part of the family of God. How many know in our body there are just different functions, right?
Amen.
And some say, well, I wouldn't mind losing a foot, but I don't want to lose my hand, you know? How many know that every member is important? If you lose a finger, Joan had hurt her finger recently. She was trying to do the dishes with a hurt finger, you know, because she had popsicle sticks on a splint, right? Yeah. So one finger, though, can make your whole body hurt sometimes. Are you with me?
Amen.
So we need to understand the value of each other in the body of Christ. Amen? We have to respect and honor one another as members of Christ's body. In the Corinthian church, they were showing partiality. The rich were despising the poor. And many of them were just indulging themselves at these agape or these love feasts that they would have prior to the communion, the taking of the Lord's Supper. And so the poor were feeling rejected and despised, and they were not taking care of the widows. They were not being Christ's hands and feet to people. And so as a result of this, Paul said, I come to you, but I can't praise you because, you know, you're not distinguishing, you're not understanding that it was for that one that you're despising that Christ died. Now, I understand we all know what it's like to have relatives, you know, in our lives. You may have favorite relatives, I'm sure you do, but they're still your relative, they're still your family. And we need to be very careful what we say and what we do and how we treat one another. Amen. As members of Christ's body that he purchased with his own precious blood. Jesus is desiring to show his love to the world through his people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God, right? With all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and our neighbor as ourself. To love one another. This is the commandment that he's gave us, to love one another. So when we take communion, what we're saying is we are identifying ourselves with the Lord. Amen? We're saying, Lord, we are members of your body. We are your bride. But we're also family. And so I need to respect, I need to honor my brother and my sister. Do you know that when we practice honor towards one another, that it eliminates division? If each one of us here will practice a lifestyle of honoring other people, even people that you may not like that much, you still have to love them. But if you will honor people, you can eliminate the divisions and the cliques and the things that come up in the body. There are churches, and I believe that we're pretty close-knit here. We're a small church, but we're pretty close-knit. But there are churches that have grown to be large that are not full of cliques and divisions because they have learned how to honor one another, and to see the value of each member. You see, when I choose not to forgive a brother or sister, I'm not discerning the body of Christ. When we sin as individuals, as being part of a body, it does affect the body. Do you realize that what we do in secret does affect people openly? When I take and choose to take a member of Christ's body, and as Paul said, give it to a harlot, you know, that is something that I'm introducing to the body. Are you with me? It's like having an infected hand or something. You know, you're allowing infection into the hand, and you're not discerning that it's a member of God's body that he purchased with his own blood. And so we must forsake sin. We must turn from our sin. We must commit ourselves fully to Christ. We need to break every tie, every tether to Egypt so that we can be free. There were those who were among the camp who decided to rebel, as you remember. And they began to influence others around them. And God didn't like it. And God took a hand, a very strong hand, and he wiped them out in the wilderness. Many fell in the wilderness. And Paul said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly, and even some have fallen asleep. In other words, they have prematurely died because they would not repent of their sin, or they would not forgive a brother or sister. Are you hearing me? When we raise that cup, we are saying, Lord, I'm married to you. This is the marital wine that I'm in covenant with you. And this covenant was in your blood. You paid for me with your blood so that I wouldn't give myself to other gods. I wouldn't give myself away, amen, to the world. But I would come out and be separate. And then you would receive me as your bride. And so when we take ourselves and we give ourselves over, are you hearing me? Once again, or taken a member of Christ's body, that not only does it affect you, it breaks God's heart because it's also hurting your brother and your sister. I'm not in this church, but I've been in churches where there was a lot of sin. And you can feel it when you walk in. It's dirty. And the enemy has got a stronghold. We've got to keep him at bay. I mean, we've got to keep him out. We've got to shut him out. We've got to be responsible as individuals, as part of God's body. Because what you do does affect those around you. What mom and dad do affects the children. Amen? Hallelujah.